as a singular planet.
In fact, it is anything but. What it is a story not of a universe,
but a multiverse.
Where universes and planets, such as Earth,
were replicated and mirrored across a vibrating, infinite plane.
Some barely different from the next.
Others drastically so.
This is DC On Screen. Every week, Dave and Jason talk about the multiverse of DC properties on film and television. But be warned, if it's been officially released, you can expect they'll spoil it.
Welcome into DC On Screen, episode 449. I'm your host, David C. Robertson. This is my co-host, Jason Goss.
Hello.
And this episode, we're going to be talking about The Flash, whatever the hell that episode was called, for the mid-season finale.
Don't Run.
And Don't Run. That's right. Which is dumb. He should have run. Because all he had to do was like run and like grab what's-his-face's body, DeVoe's body, and running away, you know?
Like, no way. No, I think he made the right decision. Yeah, he could
just like, nah, man. He's just grab and run, like take that body, man, get right back, you know? Captain Singh comes in. He goes, oh, hi, Singh.
No, I think this, I think he made the right call. I don't think there was a super powering out of that one. Because in the moment he had while the door was being breached, which, by the way, great shot of the slow-mo door being breached while he's like looking at the picture and considering the situation. Loved that.
Uh-huh.
If it were me in that situation, I would think, you know, as fast as I can run, all I could possibly do is maybe clean up the crime scene. But they've clearly already got a warrant. They're going to come in here and search. They're not going to come in, not see a body, and still not search my apartment. They're going to search. Mm-hmm. And as clever as DeVoe is, him using his own body as a death trap for me, he probably managed something that they'll find. Like, there's no way he could scour that apartment in the time it took for those people to literally step through the door. I think he would have missed something, and it would have looked bad because he tried to cover it up, and it would have looked worse. Like, I think he did his best option was, if this doesn't work, I have to run away, and every memory I've ever built with this woman and this family that we're trying to start is done for. Or I stay, we figure this thing out, and we work it through.
Yeah, I mean, I guess he made the right call. I guess if he like doesn't run, if worse comes to worse, he's the Flash. He could always just like, yeah, he could just phase out of the prison wall and run away.
Right. All he has to do is keep it under wraps that he's a meta, and he's fine. But this is no time to. I think he just made the right call. He cornered him, and he had to admit it.
I hope they bring up the fact that this is not going to look good for Ollie.
There's a lot about that I'm hoping comes into play. I hate that agent. She's the worst. But we'll get to Arrow. Yeah. But there's stuff that's tangential to Arrow that I hope does get brought up at trial. But we'll get there when the time comes, I guess.
Like, what do you think about your best friend being incarcerated for murder? Wait, what?
Yeah.
You know, Barry Allen. Oh, what? No, what? Yeah, that's a thing, buddy.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I've enjoyed the storyline with DeVoe so far this year. I've enjoyed Caitlin and Killer Frost.
So far, so good, yeah. I don't know what that bacon soda thing was, but even, like, the gang enjoying hanging out with Killer Frost and Caitlin getting a little, you know, like her feelings hurt, even that was cool.
Yeah, that was good. That was good. And, you know, it's not all... sunshine here for me, though. I don't want to, you know, pretend that I love everything about the show right now. I don't like Ralph Dibny.
Just as a person?
I don't like his character. I don't like the actor playing him. I don't like the way they're writing him. And I hate those stupid stretched scenes where they keep trying to shove that stupid tablet down my throat that I don't want.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know what the hell they're doing on it. Like, I don't... Like, it's always some kind of random weird thing.
Yeah,
and I'm like, I don't even know what you're talking about. I don't know what you're doing.
They're just doing odd math and hoping he's funny enough to carry the scene. I don't know. There's not a lot to that. And it was kind of annoying to be taken out of context, and the show suddenly is a commercial for, I think, Microsoft Surface. I'm not sure.
And it's actually in the stupid show, because they're like having a conversation about how to do a thing, and then like it'll cut to a scene where it's just like the camera is like level with the logo on the tablet.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. And then you'll see like Iris or somebody just pick it up and take it off, and it'll like the camera will pan with it. And I'm like, it's so distracting. Please stop doing that.
Product placement is just it's the kind of evil we have to live with in this world.
No, it doesn't. It isn't.
No.
It shouldn't have to be anyway. It's not something where I'm like, you know, I'm not going to sit there and go like, oh man, that Diet Coke can and that shot is so distracted because they're drinking Diet Coke. Mm-hmm. I actually find it more distracting when they're drinking a knockoff brand. I'm okay with that. you know what? I have a Diet Coke right here. They're not paying me any money. Mm-hmm. I have a Diet Coke can right here, sitting mm-hmm. right here looking at me. I see that logo all the time. It's not even a thing. But, you know, when you're, like, tracking the logos with the camera and you're just hearing voices off screen, that's some bull, man.
Yeah, that's rough.
Anyway.
That's rough. Question.
Yes.
You know how we've brought up over and over again that, like, Harrison Wells' face has kind of been outlawed? Like, he probably shouldn't go out.
Yeah.
I don't know that I've ever really noticed it, but when he went out to go meet Caitlin, he puts on, like, a black hat and has his glasses and has, like, a flipped-up collar jacket. Like, is that his version of kind of going out under the radar so he can still go out and not have to use his little pin?
I don't know.
Oh, so does Harry even have one of those little pins? Because it just seems like Harry just, you know, puts on a black hat and wanders around where he feels like wandering around.
I mean, this is a problem we've had in previous seasons, and I'm not sure what Harry has going on, but that dude just walks around town with a giant gun.
He did on one occasion, but he hasn't really done that a lot recently.
He did it in this episode.
Yeah,
he did it in the mid-season finale.
He did for a second.
He's literally just walking around, skulking around outside of DeVoe's house with a giant-ass gun.
He is doing that, but it's nighttime. It was the middle of the day, I think, on the previous occasion.
That's true. He usually just has the sucker on his back.
Slightly better. This is what I'm wondering, though, is like the fact that, say, it was nighttime when he was doing that, or when he did go out to meet Caitlin, he had the cap on, and it looked like he even kind of looked around to see if anyone noticed him before he sat down. Like, is it little stuff like that? Is that supposed to be our explanation for why Harry can get around town and, you know, not be arrested immediately?
I guess so. I don't know, man.
I have to admit, if you're asking me, though, like, to explain every single time he leaves the Star Labs, how and why he's going to be able to do it. Like, I don't want that exposition every time. So if the answer is they just put a hat on him and then we're not supposed to really think too hard about it, I actually prefer that, I gotta admit.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's not a season goes by that we don't, you and I, one of us bring it up and the other one kind of go, I don't know.
Yeah. This is the first time where I've felt like I looked at it and thought, well, that is a little comforting. So I don't know. It was the first time I felt a little comforted at the topic.
Yeah.
Thought I'd share in case it helped you.
Hmm. I mean, you know.
I didn't have any high expectations. You're okay.
All right. So, I suspect you will have a different take on this than most of the fans online seemingly do. But a lot of hatred for Iris going around this season.
Why?
They don't like the We Are the Flash thing. They don't like that she's, like, the boss, you know, because she doesn't make good leadership decisions. She is, you know, irrationally angry at people for stupid things. That kind of thing. Those are the claims, basically. And I about halfway agree and halfway dismiss it.
I mean,
depends on the episode.
Depends on the episode and the instance, I guess. Like, yes, she can get a little angry at people, but anyone in charge has moments like that. And then, yes, she makes bad leadership decisions, but she's new at this, so she's kind of, you know, gonna do that. I mean, like, this episode, she's actively making a bad decision, trying to look for everyone, and Harry's the one who kind of points out, you're gonna lose them both.
Yeah, and when Harry goes, no, you're the problem, I went, go on.
it was one of those many times where I thought, oh, it's been so nice to have Harry back. The real Harry.
Uh-huh.
The asshole we came to love. He's the kind of guy who that would just look her dead in the eye and go like, nope, you're the one screwing up right now. Here's how. Get it fixed.
Yeah.
And it was a good point. And she did. She adapted. She went and talked to, I mean, she assessed the situation again with that new information, came to a decision. The team went through with it. All is well. Now, I mean, I don't really have a problem with the whole we are the Team Flash. You might as well. Like, think about it this way. If she wasn't part of Team Flash, do you really just want a bunch of stories where Iris is married to Barry but doesn't really get involved in the whole Flash stuff and just sits around hoping that her husband doesn't make her widow one day and twiddling her thumbs and just covering random news stories in the meantime? There is nothing interesting about anything I'm describing.
Well, writers for years have figured out how to make Lois a good part of Superman, her being a reporter.
I know, but you'd have to take the show in that direction. Like, Clark and her are already reporters, so it's built into the show that you can have, like, a whole, you know, B or C storyline every episode that is about the story they're doing. I mean, mm-hmm. even in Smallville, like, that wall of weird is built into the mechanism of Superman.
Yeah.
So, they don't really have that built in here. Like, she was a reporter, but really, you know, like, Barry Allen has very little to do with reporting. He has very little to do with being a forensic, you know, scientist. He just barely gets his job done there, it seems like.
Yeah.
Like, they just occasionally go back and mention that he actually has shit on his plate.
Uh-huh.
And then they'll show us how he can get, like, a week's worth of work done in about 20 minutes. And,
yeah,
you know, then that's how he has time to go be the Flash the rest. Okay, I mean, like, there are explanations here, but I don't think you could work in Iris's storyline as a reporter and as a, you know, trusting and hopeful spouse in any way that I would find interesting. This is way more interesting to me. Like, she dug in, she's part of Team Flash, and to be fair, when everyone else stepped away, she was the one who stepped up and, you know, that was her little brother she wanted to protect too, so.
Yeah.
They needed someone to actually take control, and she did, and then when Flash came back, it was natural for her to stay in control.
Mm-hmm.
If nothing else, because, you know, you don't want the actual, like, the Flash is your best player. You don't want him to also be the coach.
Mm-hmm.
Just doesn't make sense.
I don't want him to be the coach.
Just doesn't make sense strategically.
I don't necessarily have a problem with Iris being in that position.
Yeah, I guess I'm just kind of speaking to all the concerns at once, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm a little on the fence. I can see them going a different way with it. I could see, like, maybe there's a, you know, and this is just me throwing crap against a wall at this point, but, mm-hmm. you know, maybe the Flash is a little bit of a PR problem and needs some puff pieces, you know, or maybe there's, you know, something with in regards to you know, like a with the DeVoe mystery, you know, I mean, we could have used Iris actually using some reporter skills here, figuring out some stuff like large amounts of money being, you know, allocated to building a giant underground bunker where you can be a man floating around in a chair. You know.
Yeah, but I don't want to be too hard on your pitch that you're just making off, you know, off the cuff. But, like, even then, like, if she had been
right now,
yeah, no. Like, even then, say we did that, where, like, yeah, she needs some puff pieces. Like, well, the puff pieces eventually would just be, then I would be bored because we're back to Iris not having any agency. She's just reacting to whatever Barry's doing and trying to make it smooth it over.
I'm not sure she has agency right now.
See, I think this is where she does to me. Is like, she walks in and says, you need a leader, I'm going to do it, and then just takes charge. She just goes. Like, it's the most they've given her on the show to do that makes sense in, well, the show's history.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to disagree with you there. I'm just saying she's not there yet. I don't know what it is. I don't know what's... I'm not hating her. I don't want her to die or anything. People are, you know, actively out there wanting her to die,
yeah,
and stuff, but...
I know. I'm not going to be able to
get
on the same
care.
Page as those people, but and...
I'm not either.
There are moments where she bores me too, but that's just about any character. I think they've got her in a good place right now. I'm pretty happy with her. So I don't know what.
Yeah.
That's my best explanation for why I stand there and the internet can either care or not.
Yeah. I mean, you know, she hasn't gone all, you know, Skylar on Breaking Bad for me, but.
I don't know the reference, but okay.
She became very hated on that show by the fans.
Ah.
Okay. And I understand and agree for the most part.
Gotcha.
They just didn't know what the hell to do with her.
I was afraid that was what was going to happen to Iris, and I think they put her in a good spot.
Yeah.
She's still got plenty of lessons to learn.
It's okay.
And, I don't know. She's, like, there are other people that say you put Joe in charge of the team. Well, first of all, he doesn't have time. He has to go be a real detective. He actually got a job to do.
And
one that he can't just sneak out of constantly. And even if he did, say he's in charge of the team. Say you worked that out. You think he has the balls to leave Barry alone and go look for Caitlin?
No.
You could never convince him. I mean, it's the same guy that, by the way, one of the great Joe lines this week, when DeVoe's kind of teasing him about a restraining order, he says, if something happened to my son, there ain't a restraining order on earth that would keep me from getting to you.
Mm-hmm.
And for a second, looking in Joe's eyes, I was, like, viscerally afraid myself.
Yeah, he was good this week.
He was good.
I mean, he's Joe. He's good
everywhere. He's always on point. Just always on point.
So, am I to understand that all of the different metas that DeVoe created were each an experiment to see, like, he was just turning people into metas, hoping that one of them would be the right one? Is that... the right body to grab?
I feel like it's a little unclear as of yet. I don't think that's not to say that's a flaw. I just think that they haven't revealed everything. But my take on it so far is more like he kind of knew what was going to happen to a lot of those people.
Uh-huh.
I gathered that he had some purpose for all of them, but ultimately he did need Brainstorm. Like, he had to have that one to make this part of his plan work. But everybody else, he needed them too, but he needed them in different ways that we're kind of seeing as we go.
Yeah.
Like Amethyst.
I'm a little iffy.
Even
I'm a little iffy on the whole thing.
I just don't think they've fully explained it yet.
I'm a little iffy on how he predicts the future. Is it just mathematical extrapolation, probabilities? What is it?
Yes, that's my take on it, yeah. Well, and that's how they've built him too, is he can answer questions involving so many variables on such a level that he can, in effect, predict the future. Like, nobody should be able to stop Barry Allen if they're running at you, unless you happen to already know that Barry Allen's going to run at you, and exactly the speed that he's doing it with, and exactly the angle he will take on his approach, and then you can get your little Dr. Octopus thing behind and grab his neck.
Yeah. little Dr. Octopus
as an example.
Yeah, okay. Well, so far I like DeVoe as a villain. I think he's kind of cool.
He is. It's refreshing to not have another speedster, too.
No, we have a speedster. He's just a speedster of thought.
Yeah, which is fine. I mean, you gotta have something.
I don't think you understand, Jason.
I understand how thematically this hasn't changed that much, but really, even using a different mechanism is refreshing. And DeVoe's, that actor has, up to this point, been pretty great. I liked him.
Yeah, yeah.
I suppose I'll miss him.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't think you understand. He thinks faster than Barry. So he's kind of a speedster.
I feel like I've got a basic grasp of that, but I appreciate you trying to make sure I was up to date.
Even if he's not the same actor, he's still thinking faster than Barry.
Sure, sure. That's Jason. I'm kind of getting my head around that. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Kind of you.
Oh, you know.
To stop everything we were doing to make sure that I knew that point. Very kind of you.
You can just come to me anytime.
Just the kind of guy you are.
Before we're recording, even, you can come to me and say, hey, man, I don't understand things.
Yeah, but I like that even during the recording, you made it a point to stop and make sure that I understood this. See, that is commitment. That's friendship.
Yeah, a lot of people tell me I should be committed.
Yeah. to friendship.
To the guys in the white coats.
Yeah. All right. So, now that we're on the topic of you explaining things to me, may I ask you to explain some more?
I probably won't be able to, but go ahead.
I have a series of questions.
You have a series of questions for me.
Yes.
Oh, Lord. I feel like this is like pop quiz time.
I guess. It's...
Help me, Brent Clark.
It's like if I had to name it, this would be a segment I would call What the Fuck Did I Miss, Dave?
Okay.
You ready?
Sure. We'll give this a shot. This is terrifying.
When did the body swap happen?
I don't know. I was wondering that myself.
A lot of
man.
These questions are gonna. If you have a good guess, let me know. If you just want to say outright,
they did a flashback where he was getting up off of the ground, and it was all slow motiony, weird, and she was there. And
she comes and she helps him.
Yeah. I'm not sure when that happens.
In relation to everything else, when did that happen? Because
I don't know. It
suggests other questions, like how did old DeVoe get out of the lake? Who was old DeVoe when he was old DeVoe? Like, during the course of trapping Barry Allen, where it seems like on the same timeline, Brainstorm is trapped with Caitlin.
Sure.
And in what I think is supposed to be a ruse, that I suppose, I think the only point of that is to make Brainstorm feel like he should be part of the family so that he can infiltrate the family a little bit better and turn the screw on Barry, but... The two questions off that. One, is Amethyst really just supposed to be there to be a sacrificial lamb? Because she went down. And two...
Thankfully, I can't stand her.
Yeah. But did he really just, create her as a meta just to get her in that position so he could get Brainstorm into the inner circle? And then if that's the case, who was controlling DeVoe at the same time while he's got Barry trapped in his little rat cage? By the way, awesome trick where he vibrates so much he's invisible. Fantastic. But
yeah.
Who's DeVoe there if Brainstorm is also DeVoe over there? which is why I'm wondering, when did this swap happen?
Well, I mean, they showed us the swap happen, where he, like, comes down and floats and, you know, throws his Doc Ock tendrils on the dude's head.
Sure, all that, yeah.
Yeah, that all happened. I just don't, I'm not sure when that happened. Like, I'm...
In the timeline, I can't quite figure out when. Because...
I would assume he like crashed in the lake, but then came out of the lake. That's what I would assume. But I don't know. I don't know.
But then that's the other thing. Is like, okay, how did old DeVoe get out of the lake? And who was it that went into the lake? Again,
I think
is this that, like
I think
some
it was DeVoe.
Extra creature?
I think it was DeVoe.
Real DeVoe?
Yeah.
All right. So...
I think he became Brainstorm, like, just before the Christmas dinner.
All right, so you think it happened between. So, all right, in your mind, Brainstorm is just there as a helpless pawn, as is apparently Amethyst.
Uh-huh.
And then the dinner happens, but right before that, DeVoe apparently does find a way out of the lake in his crashed chair.
He's got a partner wife, you know?
He's got the mechanic with him, sure. So, like, I'm willing to assume... It's the only way it makes it work, but I just didn't see it happen. Like, it didn't... I just couldn't tell when this happened. It had to have been then, though, right? Is that the only option we have?
And there might be another option, but I don't remember it.
It's my best guess, I guess, after all this. Like, he must have made it out, which would have been part of his plan, so that's fine. He would have planned to make it look like he was dead so he could further surprise him on Christmas.
Yeah.
And that's fine also if he calculated that Brainstorm would make it out, that Amethyst would get done, you know, that you know, Caitlin would trick Amethyst. If he could, I'm fine with him being able to calculate all of those variables. I just kept watching, thinking, "Hold on, now when did they swap?"
Yeah, you know, I honestly, man, I was a little confused at the end, and thought, you know what, I'll do. I'll go back and look, and then I realized I'd have to watch all these stupid commercials again, and I went, "I'm okay."
It is a deterrent. And one more quick question while we're at this is if our working theory is that he goes into the lake. Brainstorm gets rescued. Later, he finds Brainstorm and, you know, swaps him. Well, that's fine, but I'm pretty sure that chair he's in works just fine when he's floating around and swapping minds. And it's the same chair that Barry just destroyed and threw in the river.
Yeah. Well, that's why you got your little help meet there. Your partner wifey.
Mm. Yeah.
I don't even know her name.
I just called her the mechanic.
They were so adamant that she was like, "I'm his partner." I have no idea what her name is.
I don't either.
They've done a really bad job of making her a threat for me. I just don't even know. I don't even know who she is. She's like, "Oh yeah, that girl, his wife." I feel bad about it, but you know, I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know what to do with it.
In any case, you see all my points. It's confused. It's a confusing little bit.
It is a confusing bit. Absolutely. And I think it's kind of.
The writing's usually so tight on The Flash that I'm just assuming I missed something, which is why I praised it. What the fuck
that's
did I
fair.
Miss?
I mean, you remember when Barry's running through the Speed Force, not the Speed Force, when he's running through that little time tunnel to get to Earth 2 the first time or whatever, and he sees, like, that little glimpse of himself in prison, and he's, like, in handcuffs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, we're looking at that now, right?
Starting to look more real, huh?
Uh-huh. I mean, you know, you want to talk about the tight writing on the show, there you go, but,
okay.
I don't know.
I just wanted to see if there was something obvious that I missed, and short of that, put it out there for anyone to let me know.
Yeah. Here's another big question I've got for you. Mm-hmm. When did Mick Rory have time to steal all of those toasters?
A pro like him? Come on.
That was my favorite bit of the show. Why would Rory think that we... Why would Rory think we needed 40 toasters? He set up some kind of a fire sale. Oh, he stole them. He definitely stole them.
Yeah. But yeah. Like, what I like about it is there's this image that he just kind of realized he needed a gift and went behind whatever department store he could find and bribed a guy and then intimidated the guy next to him and just stole a whole pallet of whatever was there. It could have been toasters, espresso machines, diapers, whatever was there. Mm-hmm. He just stole a pallet.
Yeah.
Walked away.
Yeah. All right, so Amunet Black. This is one of those situations where I went, "Hey, Katie Sackhoff, I'm excited to see her. She's a good actress." And apparently it's one of those things where it's just like, oh, she's a good actress, but apparently she thinks because this is a comic book show, she can act really over the top and ridiculous.
Yeah. Not enough people get the memo that if you actually take it semi-seriously, it comes off really well.
Yeah, she was pretty over the top, though, man.
Yep. Just got to pull it back a little bit.
Which, I mean,
advice we've given a lot on these shows.
Yeah. Like, she's just... Like a British geomancer over here.
Yeah. Oh, I know you said you didn't like Ralph, but...
I don't like Ralph so far.
Say what you may, but...
I will.
Speech,
I don't like him.
You will. And that little speech at the end was a little endearing. But the laugh out loud moment came when he said, one of those death holes that you call a breach.
Mm-hmm.
I was super happy with that. Also, with Harry trying to get over like insisting to Sisko, like, no, that's not a breakup cube. That's not a breakup cube. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the whatever it was, the sex cube. What if? Yeah. That was kind of funny.
That was good. And even Joe, like, get that out of my house.
Yeah, that was good. Yeah, I don't know that I have a lot more on this season so far. I'm enjoying it.
Yeah, one more question. Has nothing to do with timelines.
Okay.
Well, two, actually. So, do you think DeVoe has to keep swapping bodies, or is it just this one that was being destroyed?
I suspect that eventually that body will break down and that he'll realize he has to have Barry's body, or maybe he already knows he has to have Barry's body.
And this is a step in that direction?
I think he has to have Barry's body.
I thought that's where they were going with it early on.
Yeah.
I thought that was going to be the reason they trapped him.
I'm not sure why they trapped him.
Oh, just to show him that he should learn to lose once in a while and all that stuff.
Oh, right. I forgot about that.
There's a whole lesson plan. And that was apparently just, I don't know, his opening gambit, I guess. I don't know. But DeVoe ends with, he says, now let's bring about the enlightenment.
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea what that means, but it sounded scary out of him.
Yeah. I don't know. So far, it's just a dude in a chair with a lot of bluster.
Well, now it's a guy standing up with a lot of bluster.
Yeah, and I'm kind of sad because I like the aesthetic of the dude in the chair. Like,
I did. I thought it was good homage, but it makes more sense for him to get out of the chair and have some fun.
Yeah.
Is he going to be telepathic, like, though? On top of being
maybe,
that smart?
Maybe. Maybe that's why he knows so much. Maybe he, he's so smart. Like, we've already got so many people who are intelligent enough to go back in time, right? In this mm-hmm. universe. So
sure.
If he's the smartest man of all time, maybe he figures out how to time travel to some degree, uses some flash tech or something, or they design something. You know, once he's telepathic, he can just read, you know, whoever's mind, Harry's mind or whoever's mind. And maybe that's how he sees everything. Maybe it's more than just mathematical extrapolation.
I mean, going forward, maybe. Up to this point, he's just been...
Yeah, but he could always go back and tell himself. You see what I'm saying?
I could see that. Yeah, that'd be one way to go with it.
I'm probably wrong.
Could work. I'm just guessing that he gets to keep his super brain and also gets telepathic powers now.
Yeah, maybe.
Which would seem to be redundant for someone that is that clever.
Yeah, a little bit. All right, well, I mean, I think this is the CW show and I'm enjoying the most of this season so far, which is, you know, not a weird thing.
It's pretty standard.
It's pretty standard for us.
Mm-hmm. You want to know when it'll be back?
Yeah, sure. When will it be back, Jason?
That will be January 16th.
Ooh, January 16th.
Mm-hmm.
Well, getting our Christmas presents a little late.
Mm-hmm.
All right, that's all I've got, I think, for right now. I miss Wally. You know, I enjoy hearing about he's fighting Starro and stuff, but I miss him.
Yeah.
I miss Jessie. I know she's the Flash on Earth, too.
There's some news we'll discuss Monday that might help you with Wally, too.
Oh, okay. Is he coming back?
You'll have to wait till the news episode like everyone else.
Oh, you bastard. I'm not being funny. You're a bastard. I want to know.
I know.
All right, guys. We are DC On Screen. You can find every episode at DCOnScreen.com. You can hit us up on Twitter. Hit us up on Facebook. We'll talk about stuff. And, I don't know, give us your thoughts on the season so far and of this mid-season finale. We'll probably talk about it on the, unless you're, you know, really mean to us or something, we'll probably talk about it.
Yeah.
And, we'll be coming back with, episode 450, where we'll be discussing Arrow as it is so far in season 6, with an emphasis on the mid-season finale. Until next time, guys. Oh, yeah, we're partnered with TV Time. They're an amazing app. You should go check them out. Keep track of your stuff. your TV shows and everything. It's really awesome. Mm-hmm. Until next time, guys, keep some DC on your screen. Our opening narration was from Dan Juergens' The History of the DC Universe, Part 3 of 10, as featured in DC 52, Week 4. It was performed by me, David Z. Robertson. Intro music by Jason Goss and Michael Shackelford. Michael's band Future Elevators can be found on Spotify or future-elevators.com. Our introduction was performed by Eli Opelders of Stealing the Remote, which lives on SoundCloud and can be found on iTunes and Stitcher. We're a proud member of the Giant Size Team Up Network, GiantSizeTeamUp.com. DC On Screen is a maladjusted production. Visit maladjusted.tv for more from me and Jason, including sketch comedy and improvised web series, vlogs, parodies, and more.